Hello, my name is Christina. Jesus went out beside the lake again. The whole crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he continued along, he saw Levi, Alphaeus' son, sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Levi got up and followed him. Jesus sat down to eat at Levi's house. Many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples. Indeed, many of them had become his followers. When some of the legal experts from among the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why is he eating with sinners and tax collectors?" When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners."
Well, this week, I saw no less than 350 different little faces in little boxes on my computer screen. Zoom, Google Meet, WebEx, FaceTime, so many meetings, and for so many different reasons. I had some high-level institutional meetings. I also played games over the internet with cousins. I listened to joys and concerns with you. I got to spend time with a puppet. I organized community response efforts on our behalf. With our leadership team, I reviewed the church budget. 350-plus relationships played out across my screen, filling my calendar. Time with colleagues and parishioners, bishops and elected officials. Time with family and friends. I got to be with teachers and neighbors. I even got to see some children, some puppets, and some pets fill those screens. If I didn't see your face, and you're not one of our phone-only, CD-only people, if I didn't see your face, I've got to ask you, please join us for one of our online events. I mean, I'm sure you're getting a lot of screen time, too. But I tell you, for all of the meetings and virtual work I had this week, all of the things those virtual meetings were for, it was the time with church family that felt the most engaging and the most real. Talking with parents about making it through the day, that was real. Listening to the joys and concerns of our community, having my joys and concerns listened to, that was grounding. Watching the kids play with their own puppets and show off their stuffed animals and want to show everyone their homes and their rooms during story time, it brought me joy. These are all opportunities for you, and starting next week, you could stop in for our Bible study, The Gospel According to the Simpsons. It starts on Monday, the 6th. Distance does not need to deny us depth. Being engaged in this home where all belong is one of the ways that you can care for your well-being right now. It's a proactive step, something you can choose for yourself while so many other choices are not our own right now. You see, choosing relationship is a way we care for ourselves. It's a way we care for others, and choosing relationship is a way that we live like Jesus. This Lenten time, we are considering the many ways Jesus was and is known. Teacher, mystic, healer, living for others, prophet, rebel. One that didn't originally make my list of sermon topics has become even more important and noteworthy in these last few weeks. Now, it didn't make the original list, not because it wasn't important, it's just that there are only a certain number of weeks during Lent, and I had to pick a certain number. But as we have found ourselves at a distance, as we are alone together, amidst all of this, I'm reminded of the countless and defining examples of Jesus as a companion. For all of the crowds and sermons, for all the disciples and the followers, Jesus did his most life-changing work by offering his presence and entering into intentional relationship. Jesus showed up for people. He was the friend that showed up even when things were tough. And isn't that really the mark of a great relationship? You know, the person who doesn't run away when things get real. That person who, for some inexplicable reason, feels even closer when you'd expect everyone in the world to just push away. We see this in Jesus' life. Take Levi, for example. Levi is a tax collector. Now, whether he was collecting taxes for Rome or King Herod, we don't know. But he made his living taking other people's money and keeping some of it for himself. You see, this wasn't just a people don't like taxes, so they don't like the tax man situation. No, no, this was corruption. This was selfish hoarding, and at sometimes it was even about selling out your own people. And Jesus looks at this guy, a pariah in every circle, and decides this is who he wants to spend time with. The Gospel of Mark tells it this way, as Christina shared with us. Jesus went out beside the lake again, and the whole crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he continued along, he saw Levi, Alphaeus' son, sitting at a kiosk for collecting taxes. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." So Levi got up and followed him. Jesus sat down to eat at Levi's house, and many tax collectors and other sinners were eating with Jesus and his disciples. Indeed, many of them had become Jesus' followers. When some of the legal experts from among the Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why? Why is he eating with sinners and tax collectors?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do. I didn't come to call righteous people, but sinners." Life is hard. Life is complicated. Life is isolating. And Jesus chooses to show up. And in a phrasing that feels ever so timely and mildly ironic, he emphasizes it by saying, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, but sick people do." Jesus wants to be with those who are having a hard time, because that's who needs someone to be with them. And this isn't a one-time Levi-only deal. I mean, even just counting tax collectors, Levi's in good company with Zacchaeus. Well, and in good company, I mean another tax collector who was despised and outcast with whom Jesus has dinner. No, Jesus shows up for people in hard places all the time. Just a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Samaritan woman at the well, with whom Jesus spent time and conversation and offered healing and new life. Or there's Mary Magdalene, Mary and Martha, there's Lazarus, there's Nicodemus, all relationships Jesus chose to share in moments that brought forth life. Or thinking of difficult times, the woman accused of adultery. Jesus sees someone who's confronting isolation and judgment. And what does he do but put himself between someone in need and those who would hurt her? Jesus offers relationship as a refuge. The tough times are when Jesus shows up. The 12 disciples would attest to that. I mean, Jesus literally walked into a storm to be with them. He walked on water into a storm to be with them. The Gospel of Mark tells us the story this way. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and Jesus was alone on land. And he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. And he was about to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and they were terrified. And immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down, and they were completely amazed. Life is tossing the disciples around in this scripture. How did Mark describe it? The wind was against them. What a metaphor for our difficult experiences in life right now. When it feels like the most simple of tasks take everything we have because the wind of the world seems against us. And it is into such a storm that Jesus enters. And Jesus walks right in and he sits right down and he asks for and chooses relationship. And so it is for us, both individually and communally. Individually, we are invited to welcome the presence of God made real in the life and teachings of Jesus. The Christmas story, the Easter story, and all the stories in between. The relationships I've named today and so many more. Jesus' relationships are enough to fill a book. Four of them even. All of these stories of Jesus serve a common theme. God seeks to be in relationship with us. Because we are worthy of God's divine presence and investment. The time, the presence, the listening, everything we see Jesus do as a friend, God seeks to do for us. God wants to be present in our lives and have us notice. I was in a 100-person Zoom meeting yesterday. It was organized chaos, watching people bounce in and out, those who forgot they were on screen, all sorts of things. And the screens across mine were filled with people. And when everyone wasn't muted, listening to life happening, wondering where the noise was coming from, it was something. And when I'm one on the it's disoriented and distracting, and I'm on these video calls, and as I'm experiencing all of this, I've begun to have a practice that makes the meeting better. Amidst all of the faces, I start swiping from page to page of all of the people who are there, looking for some of my closest friends. And when I find one of them amidst all of those faces, I leave that screen up with one of my closest friends right there. I just feel more connected to what's happening. I mean, even amidst all the busyness of the meeting, they were always there. They were in the same Zoom meeting with me. But looking for them and finding them and choosing to offer my attention to them, to their presence, makes all the difference for me. And so it is with the divine presence. Just like in the scriptures, Jesus enters into the difficult and distracting moments of life, like the one we are all living right now. Like the one you might be living that isn't making the news, but you are wrestling with. Jesus enters these moments to be with us. Not to magically make everything better, not to judge or micromanage, but just to be with us. And we are invited, amidst the busyness of our circumstances, to seek out that divine presence and turn our attention to it and to be connected. We are also invited to recognize and embody the living presence communally. Much of the New Testament relies on this metaphor of the Christian community as the body of Christ. That Jesus is made present through the connection of community. When we show up together, the divine is made known in our connection. We are invited to choose relationship as a way of living like Jesus. It's one of the reasons I am so direct in asking you, find a way to connect with this congregation outside of worship. I not only want you to experience God's presence in community, which is there, I want to remind you that without you, the divine presence is not as complete. Your presence is a gift. When you choose relationship, you expand our experience of God's love and grace. We know God better because you are with us. And when times are tough, when life is hard, gathering together as God's people is how we bring hope to one another and how we bring hope to the world. May it be so. I look forward to seeing you. Amen.